I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
And we're All My Issues versus Absent today, but I think we have quite the show to talk about here, don't we, Sam?
Yes, we do. We got us a fun-packed show. So
that's right. So should we just go right into it, reveal what we're going to talk about?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about the national, international phenomenon that is called X-Men 97. That is shown on Disney Plus.
Yeah, the plus.
The plus. So for those of you who don't know, which I don't think it is, but hey, just in case, X-Men 97 is an animated series that takes place right after the 90s animated version of X-Men. So it is the continuation after all these years. So if you are a fan of the X-Men, the animated series in the 90s, this is for you.
Yeah,
it picks up where it left off.
Yeah. So I don't know, should we just go episode by episode or what how do you want to?
Sure. So currently, right now, as we're recording this, there have been 9 episodes that has shown. So the first episode is titled "To Me, My X-Men." So it takes place kind of after, if for those of you who don't know, Charles Xavier went with the Shi'ar Empire into space so they can heal him from his injuries. So this is where X-Men 97 episode 1 takes place after that.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. This is kind of a fun fact. I was going to look up the exact date, but I can't remember. But I know it was like in the 2000s or possibly 2010s, something like that, To me, my X-Men was not used until sometime either in the 2000s or 2010s. Did you know that?
See, okay. I could have sworn that saying was like more in the early when, you know, before like the Wolverine and Storm entered. I thought that was one of those old sayings that was before them. So that's why I never really paid attention, because I am a huge X-Men fan. And
yeah.
In fact, I have the whole run of X-Men starting in the 90s when it was like the blue team and gold team or whatever. So cartoon is, this anime series is taking place, I have like the whole run. So in all my years of being an X-Men fan, I don't remember once reading "To Me, My X-Men" in any X-Men comic.
I guess there's some verification, because I collected X-Men. I collected I don't have the whole run of X-Men. You do, or anything like that. But I like a lot of these episodes are ones that, you know, I straight up got from the 90s, and I just like watching the episodes, like it was just like, oh man, this is almost like a time capsule. Taking me back, man. It's taking me back. And and that's why I went, because I had read somewhere else online about that "To Me, My X-Men," because I was like, I saw that there, and then reading some of the new stuff like the Fall of X and everything like that, I see them saying like "To Me, My X-Men," and I was like, and it seemed like it was just like almost like Avengers Assemble type deal.
Right. Cause yeah, that's why I said, I don't remember them ever saying that. Like some of the battle cries that we know of is like Avengers Assemble, it's clobbering time.
Right.
Like, I don't even think who else has a battle cry? Titans Go.
Yeah, Titans Go, yeah. Like, we got Skadoosh from Kung Fu Panda.
But I'm like, the battle cries, I'm like, because I don't even think the Justice League has a battle cry.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, when it was like, to me, my X-Men, I just figured, you know, this was some uncanny X-Men number 20 or something like
that. Early on. Yeah. Yeah. No, I guess it's a new thing. And I was just like, wow, it's kind of weird.
But it is kind of weird. I don't know how I feel about it. I you know, it's one thing for Charles to say it. To me, my X-Men, like, it wasn't a battle cry. It was more like, hey, X-Men. So I don't know. It's one thing for Charles to say it, but for Cyclops to say it, it's like, really?
Yeah. They're not your X-Men.
They're not. They're like, really?
Yeah.
Or Magneto. And when Magneto's saying it, it's just funny because he's trying to pay homage, but he's also like rubbing it in like, hey, I'm your daddy now. Yeah.
Exactly. You're my X-Men now. And that's kind of like, I don't know if I like it, to be honest with you, because it's like, it's almost like an ownership thing, you know, where Avengers Assemble, that's not a, you know, it's not like my Avengers Assemble. It's Hey everybody. Hey guys, let's go type thing, you know, I don't know. But yeah, so I don't know.
I think it gives off, because you know what? It kind of reminds me of Doom Patrol. Doesn't Doom Patrol kind of have something similar?
You know what? I don't know. Maybe that's possible.
I'm going to have to look that up, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we feel about that.
Yeah.
But to me, my X-Men, episode one, the X-Men are trying to put things together, you know, since Charles Xavier is gone, the world thinks that Charles Xavier is dead. So the X-Men are trying to.
Well, you know, the X-Men think that, right? I mean, they believe that too, right?
No, they know. They just had to, in order for, you know, finances for the school and everything, it was like, oh, Charles is dead. They had to kind of play along with it, because, you know, if you remember at the end of the original series, you know, they watch him, them and Magneto watches Charles get taken by the Shi'ar Empire. You know,
oh, see, I couldn't remember because it's been so long on since I've seen those, and I was like, man, but I kind of remember like from the comic where he was gone,
yes,
you know, so I was just kind of like put that together. But in the comic, they thought he was dead, though, right? I think so,
I think so, because that's when the whole gold armored, when he came back, had that gold armor,
and he's walking and stuff, and it was like,
he's walking.
So.
So I'm trying to in this episode, apparently everyone is just fanboying over Cyclops. For some reason now they figure Cyclops is cool now.
Yeah, and we know better than that.
he's like, oh man, Cyclops is a pretty bad dude. It's like they get attacked by Sentinels. Sentinels rip the Blackbird apart, and the X-Men are falling. And you know, Cyclops says, "You know, flyers get the people. I'll meet you on the ground." And does his whole
uses beam to slow him down.
Thing. Yeah. I do want to give credit, because I think in this series they are using Cyclops's powers correctly, or at least it is shown better than in previous incarnations. It's not like a heat blast. It's a concussion blast, so it's just
right
so I think before people including myself was like, is it kind of heat? It likes to blow things up, but I think it's I kind of feel that it's shown better.
The first episode I was like, yeah, this is cool, you know. I wasn't like blown away by it, but I was like, all right, yeah, this is kind of cool. And then they defeat the Sentinels that they're fighting, and then they head back to the X-Men mansion.
Yes.
And who's there to greet them?
Well, one is a pregnant Jean Grey.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. That is true.
But the person that you are referring to is Magneto in his 80s uniform.
I know. That's the thing that I thought was kind of cool, too, is that they actually fully went in on him having that uniform.
Yes.
I was like, okay. I'm like, this is kind of cool. I appreciate that. And I appreciate that attention to detail. It's not like speaking of costumes, at one point, I think it's Cyclops that says this. I forget who he says it to. He's like, what were you expecting? Black leather.
Yes.
And I was like, that. Take that.
Take that. And the thing is, it's funny that, you know, people who are not familiar, when they watch it, it's like, why does he got this big M on, you know, his uniform and stuff? And it's like, this is a callback to the comics. And, you know, one of the things I'm hoping that this will allow people who haven't read the comics to get some back issues and read the actual back issues. I mean, because the anime series isn't going to go issue by issue, but it's going to highlight some key stories in the X-Men lore. So I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, I like that. It was kind of like almost like the greatest hits.
Yes.
Of like the 90s or whatever.
Yes.
But yeah, so I guess, you know, them meeting up with Magneto just kind of went right into episode 2. And then kind of, you know, he's kind of explaining his place and why he's there, that Charles Xavier left the mansion and his X-Men to the Magneto.
Right. And which again, I don't know. Charles Xavier is a very complicated
person. Yeah, he seems like he's super smart, but then he's making a decision like that. Like, wait a minute.
Right. What's one thing for Magneto, but it's another thing to be like, okay, kids or students. Or X-Men, you're no longer here in the mansion. Technically, he's in charge. It's like, oh, wait a minute. If he's in charge, then I guess, well, like, do I really want to be around him? It's like, why do I have to keep obeying this guy? Like, I'm not your student anymore. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah, didn't we just fight this guy for?
I'm like 28 years old. I'm like a grown man.
Right. Exactly. But I always kind of like that era though, where they kind of made Magneto kind of good. I thought it was kind of interesting where he kind of, like, you know, because it kind of adds depth to his character, I think, you know, because it wasn't really purely like an evil guy.
Well, I always said, if you're talking about the most dangerous villain in comics, I always said Magneto to me is the most dangerous one, because you have Darkseid and Apocalypse and Thanos and Doctor Doom, but you know they're all kind of like, well, for the most part in like the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, they were quintessential the bad guys. But Magneto has always been that guy who he can make the heroes like really contemplate what side of the coin that they're on. It's like, maybe his methods are a little extreme, but you're kind of like, he may have a point, and that's very dangerous.
Yeah. And that comes up again and again in these episodes. And
yeah,
it's pretty cool. I like that aspect of him, that he's got more depth than, you know,
yes,
probably initially the way he was conceived. So, but Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I don't know. Should we go on to episode three then?
Oh well, we just want to highlight real quick because that's episode two, the UN. That's when they. The trial of Magneto, which you know, if you get a chance to find those back issues, those are very good to read. Because I think, if I remember correctly, those also even included the Avengers at a time for like a quick minute. But it was more X-Men when he was standing trial for the UN. And that's when Storm lost her powers.
When she was
shot by a weapon by the Executioner, which was a nice callback.
Right. And I was when they actually did that, where they had Storm lose her powers, I was like, holy crap. I'm like, this is essentially straight from the comics. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Exactly. That's
pretty crazy. Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's how that episode ends, right? Is like,
that's correct. Yep.
Yeah. So then, I guess, well, actually also too, the birth of Scott Summers and Jean Grace, who we assume is Jean Grey, their son's born.
Yes.
And their son is Nathan.
Yes.
So.
Now, those people who are watching and wondering why Mr. Sinister is so obsessed with, you know, the Summers and the Gray family. There's an episode on the original animated series. I'm trying to pull it up right now. Where it goes into that. I think it was season four. Like, I think it was like part of the last season. I think it's called Sinister or something like that. It goes into the whole backstory of Mr. Sinister. I think it's season four.
Reason why I bring it up is because that kind of comes into play in the next episode.
Yes.
So directly comes into play. Because things get a little bit strange. Things get a little bit weird.
Yeah.
You might even call Sinister.
Sinister, exactly.
So
it is season five, episode nine, called Descent.
Season five, episode nine.
Yes.
There you go.
It kind of gives a highlight of the origin of Mr. Sinister and his obsession with the Summer and Gray family. So, yes. So Nathan is born. Wolverine drives her to the hospital. Storm loses her power. Scott is there for the birth of his son, Nathan. So we have that. And then the next episode,
Fire Made Flesh.
Fire Made Flesh.
And the weird thing that ends up happening, I think it kind of leads into from the previous episode, right? Because there's another Jean Grey that shows up at the mansion. And they're like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Like, who are you, lady?
Yeah. So, and then Beast runs some tests and determines that Jean Grey that showed up is actually the real Jean Grey. Because basically their DNA is exactly the same, but he did like some sort of carbon dating, and there's that Jean Grey is just a little bit older.
Yes.
Based off of that. Which makes things kind of weird and crazy, because the person that gave birth to Scott's son is the clone Jean Grey.
Right.
So that's a little bit weird.
That's a little bit weird. But you know what? I kind of respect this, because in the comics, Madeline Pryor is Madeline Pryor. She is the clone of Jean Grey, but she doesn't call herself Jean Grey. She's just happened to be a woman that Scott sees that looks exactly like Jean, and her name is Madeline. So with this, the animated series did, you know, I kind of like that better than in the comic, because basically in the comics, Scott basically abandons his wife.
Right, right. Now I totally agree with you there too, because I always thought that was a little bit weird. And it's like one of the things, like, because I think Cyclops has a kind of a complex history, I think, where a lot of times he just comes across as like being a complete douchebag.
Right.
And that instance that you're talking about in the comics, where he just kind of leaves Jean Grey for Madeline Pryor, is like, pure douchebaggery. Makes it, and I think everybody at that point, when reading those comics, they were just like so upset at Scott Cyclops doing that. They're just like, "What is going on here, man?" But
it shows that, you know, he can't really separate himself from the X-Men, like, and that happened in the comics. But it's also like, bro, you basically drove your wife crazy,
right? Right, exactly. And at least in this instance, I think it kind of works a little bit better, because he didn't know.
Yes.
But yet there's also this whole weird thing now where his son is also kind of connected to this clone. And so it's really, really kind of weird how they did that. But I think it worked really well, I think. So
yeah, I think it's better. This is an improvement from the comic, because, yeah, like we said, he comes off like a... like dirt bag.
Yeah, right. Like, what is going on, man? So I guess basically what that episode kind of ends, where the two Jean Greys kind of talk to each other, and the one that decides to call herself Madeline Pryor just kind of decides to go her own way and leave Jean Grey at the school, right? I guess I missed the thing, right?
Yes. Because
kind of a big thing.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Because Nathan gets kidnapped.
Right.
And Sinister unlocks the subconscious controlling that he has of the clone Jean Grey / Madeline Pryor. And she reintroduces herself as the Goblin Queen.
Yeah.
Which unleashes the Inferno.
Right. Which is pretty cool, because that's actually one of my favorite crossover storylines back then too. It was the Inferno stories. I thought those were pretty sweet. And I mean, this, they handle it all in one episode. but still, it's cool that they even nod to that event.
In the comics, it covered several other superhero books, so it was an ordeal and stuff. I just feel bad for Gambit.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Like, am I watching who's the sci-fi director that makes the movies that are Cronenberg, right?
Oh, yeah.
Am I watching Cronenberg?
Yeah, because he kind of walks in and sees Magneto and Rogue together, and it's kind of like he's a little bit, whoa, what's going on here? And
yeah
that's right.
What?
Yeah. But then, they do eventually get, resolve the problems with the Goblin Queen.
Yes, she breaks her control.
She breaks her control. They get Nathan back.
Yes, but unfortunately, he has been infected.
Right. With the technovirus, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So, and they have no way to cure him. But Bishop comes up with the idea that maybe in the future, they will have a cure for him.
Yeah, right. He said they have the cure in his future. He remembers that someone came up with the cure. So he takes baby Nathan to the future. And it's like, okay.
Yep.
You got, but here's the thing. It's like, okay, Storm's gone. Bishop's gone. The only person of color is Jubilee.
Oh man, that's true. I didn't even think of it that way. You're right, you're 100% right. That's kind of messed up, man.
Yeah, because Sunspot's not really the X-Man, he's just visiting. Yeah. But it's like he's literally
yeah, wow man, I didn't man. that's true. That's pretty crazy.
Where's the diversity?
Yeah, it just went out the window there.
Right out the window. Well, you can't check that check box anymore.
No. That's pretty crazy. But then, I guess with the next episode, episode 4, they kind of switch gears a little bit, right?
Yes.
Motendo.
Yes, Motendo. It's the first of a two story in one episode, because it's the Motendo and Life Death Part 1.
Oh yeah, that's true. That is true.
So we could talk about Motendo first.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense to me.
So I like the way that they did Mojo. I guess maybe did I not realize? I just always thought he was always going to be fat, but he gets nutrition from the conflicts and the ratings.
And the watches.
I was like, yeah, I didn't realize that. Or I like the way they did that.
I like that too. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool. And they kind of like, they do this whole thing too, where they're talking about TV going away and everybody's playing video games. That's where the future's at.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool. And it's a 16-bit video game. Ooh,
16-bit. Yeah. It's retro.
right. Exactly. So I thought that was pretty cool too. And then Motendo, you know, clearly, you know, connecting with a Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit there, but I thought that episode was pretty cool. You know, really focuses like on Jubilee and because what is her? It was her 18th birthday, I think is what it was. Was that something like that?
Was it 18 or 21? Oh, you know, I think it might have been her 18th birthday.
Yeah, for some reason I want to say it was that, but yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, and I like that they had Sunspot in the episode too. The one thing that was kind of I like the Sunspot character. The thing that was kind of driving me crazy is that he just kept not using his powers at all. I was just like, dude, just use your powers for crying out loud.
Like, at least Jubilee used hers in the first episode.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, he does, I guess, eventually start using, but
yeah.
I was like, come on, dude. but I thought the Motendo and the Mojo thing was pretty cool. I liked how that whole thing, you know, even it, you know, kind of took away from the building of the other stories that they have going on, like in the background. I thought it was kind of a nice little one episode, half episode, I guess you will, story. So it was pretty cool.
I think we appreciate, you know, sometimes not just a one-off story just to break up the thing. Because I read a lot of people were like, didn't like that episode, or at least didn't like the Motendo part of the episode. And it's like, guys, like, it's still an animated series. Let's have some fun.
Right, exactly. And I kind of like, you know, because I don't know, like a lot of the cartoons and stuff that we saw growing up, most of the times, I would say, it was like a one episode story. Everything was resolved by the end of the story.
Exactly.
By the end of that 20 minute cartoon or whatever, that you actually like 20 minutes of actual viewing time. But yeah, so I, you know, I appreciate that they can condense a story down to that. I like that. But the life death stuff was pretty cool, I thought too.
So did you think before they revealed who the bad guy was, like, who did you think were you like, oh, this is the adversary?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I didn't know. I wasn't sure.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't. I did not immediately go there thinking it was the adversary. But, you know, because I don't know. Because I just as they were kind of, you know, slowly unveiling the story, I wasn't sure.
I read Life Death, but I just thought, I honestly thought it was going to be Shadow King. I was like, that's Shadow King. Then I was like, oh, I forgot about the adversary. I was like, that's the person. I was like, oh, are they bringing back Shadow King? Because he was in the original series. He did make an appearance in the original series. And I was like, oh, they brought back Shadow King.
Oh, I didn't realize that he was in. I don't remember too much from the original series, to be honest with you, because it's been so long. But yeah, that. But I like that. I like that they had Forge in it too. I thought that was really cool. I like, because I've always kind of liked the Forge character. I thought he was always pretty sweet character. But yeah, that was pretty good. And then I don't know, should we go into the next episode? Episode 5?
Yeah, we'll go to episode 5.
Yeah. The Remember It episode. This was probably like the turning point episode for me, where I was like, okay, this series is pretty awesome.
Yes.
I was like, because up until that point, I was like, oh, this is good. This is good. I appreciate this. This is good. This is good stuff. It just seemed like with episode 5, they elevated everything. It seemed like the animation was better to me.
Yes.
And just everything that just happens in it is just like, after it was done, I was kind of like, holy crap. Right. What did I just see? And I was like, that's pretty crazy. I can't believe they went there with this episode.
The little synopsis of Remember It was, as Genosha prepares to join the UN, a selected members of the X-Men head to the island to become honorary members. Back at the mansion, behind the scenes, press event threatens to hang out the X-Men's dirty laundry. So that's when the reporter was kept talking to Beast and, you know, talking to Scott and everything. But, you know, Gambit and Magneto and Rogue go to Genosha and they meet our blue furry favorite elf, Nightcrawler. Now, up to this point for me, you know, even after the first episode, like when the first episode first came out, you know, I was like, all right, I'm going to skip this part, but I'm going to play through the entrances. You know, the I was like, okay, I got to hear it. Then I'm like, wait a minute, they're changing it up. And so they made you, so we'll put a pin in that and we'll go back to episode 5, so when we see Nightcrawler.
Yeah. So they're on Genosha and they kind of like, so it's what, Magneto, Rogue, Gambit. Yeah.
Yep.
And they meet up with Nightcrawler, but they're on Genosha and it seems like it's like a paradise, like everything that they kind of want.
Mm-hmm.
In a mutant nation, and they show Dazzler for a bit.
They did.
I think they showed a couple of different
different cameos.
Yeah,
Exodus was there. Leech was there.
Yeah. So yeah, like as that's all going on, you know, they're the remaining X-Men, or like you were saying, are at the mansion and they're kind of being interviewed by the press and everything. Cyclops has like a little outburst, I think, doesn't he?
Right.
At one point, yeah, because he's still dealing with the loss of his son, having to give his son up.
Yes.
For Bishop to take to the future and stuff like that. But as those things are going on, you know, there's that party happening in Genosha. They're Magneto's basically kind of been kind of elected to represent them.
Right.
Right.
Some of the notable mutants that are there, we had mentioned before, but Madeline Pryor is there, and so is Emma Frost and Sebastian Shaw, better known as the White Queen and the Black King.
Yeah.
Of the Hellfire Club, if you remember reading the comics.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And everything's going along smoothly. Everything's like, oh, the party. Rogue is torn between... we have to go over the reason why they wanted Magneto to represent him, and Magneto's condition if he takes this role, which was if Rogue can be by his side.
Right.
And he was trying to convince Rogue that, you know, if I had you here, that way, you know, they'll show that the X-Men are here, and that you and I, you know, Magneto sweet talking, right?
Oh yeah, he's kind of smooth. He's smooth.
He's smooth with the long hair. He's a smooth
silver right, fox. Right, exactly. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, Rogue's kind of torn between him and Gambit.
That's right. And she tells Gambit, you know, what some of her past with Magneto, and Gambit's like, Gambit's not going to play no second fiddle. Gambit's not going to stand in your way, Cher. But Gambit is always here.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So then, you know, and it seemed like there, you know, there was that big like dance sequence between Magneto and Rogue. And it seems like as their dance is about to finish and stuff like that, Rogue kind of has feelings that, okay, well, I think I need to maybe think of Gambit.
Yes.
It seems right towards the end. But also while all that stuff is going on, but Madeline Pryor walks outside to get some air, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who shows up all of a sudden?
Cable,
right?
Her baby boy.
Her baby boy, right?
All grown up, yep.
So he's there to warn her, and right, and
yeah.
Then it's kind of like a little bit too late.
Yeah, which is crazy, because he's like, every time he has tried, the time machine always for some reason won't let him go any further, go like further into the past. It always stops at that fixed moment and always sends him back, and he can never figure out why he keeps doing that.
Yeah. Like they're saying that what's about to happen is like destined to happen. It's like, So what ends up happening, Sam?
Oh,
it's a shitload of Sentinels.
It's a whole bunch of Sentinels, and it is genocide, and they come in and they're just wiping the floor with everybody, and it's like, what just happened? It's just bombs after Sentinels just shooting, and so the X-Men go into action, and this is the first time, whether it's the original anime series or this one, that the Sentinel says Omega level threat.
Right. I thought that was, yeah, I think so too. I thought that was pretty sweet. They're like Omega level threat.
Yeah. So Magneto is given the business this is trying to hand it to people. Rogue's going fighting, and Gambit's like just going his full raging Cajun moment, trying to get people out.
Looking sweet on his motorcycle. Looking
sweet on his motorcycle. Kirk gets hurt, but Genosha is getting manhandled, and then Gambit makes, you know, after a few things happen, Magneto gets overtaken, and as he's protecting some children mutants, Sentinels blast him. Rogue gets angry because she sees Magneto gets just blasted. Gambit knew that Magneto pushed him out the way so he can save them and stuff, and Rogue goes into rage mode and going head first into a full three-headed Sentinel.
Right, yeah.
And we get to see Remy LeBeau do his thing, and he saves his Sherry and goes up against the three-headed Sentinel. And before he says his last breath, he says his most famous line.
Remember it. that was like, man, that is pretty sweet. Because then basically he, you know, his power is charging things up and, you know, charging full of energy, making them explode. He charges up that whole Sentinel.
Which, you know, if you think about it, it's like maybe because it takes too long to do it. But I'm like, Gary, you could technically do that to every Sentinel that you touch. You just got to get behind it.
Right. And touch Yeah, technically.
like Nimrod, you can really do that to some of these guys.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. But, yeah, that was pretty crazy. I was pretty blown away by that episode that, you know, they had him, you know, Gambit basically sacrifices himself.
Yes.
To destroy that Godzilla level Sentinel. Mm-hmm. And, so I was like, man. And then, yeah, that's, you know, basically with Gambit sacrificing himself, it kind of turns the tide.
Yes.
And, but, you know, there was so much damage done already that it was like super devastating to Genosha. And yeah, it was pretty crazy. That was a pretty crazy episode. After that was over, I was like, holy crap, what did we just see? What did we watch, Sam?
What just happened?
Yeah. So now I'm looking at here on IMDb, it looks like so far out of all the episodes, that is the one that's the most highest rated. I mean, they're all rated pretty good, but that's rated pretty high.
Yeah.
So.
And because, he said, his name is Gambit. Remember it.
Yeah, remember it.
And that's what people are doing.
Yeah. Because when that episode ended, I thought, you know, we were assuming that, okay, Gambit's dead. We also assumed that Magneto was dead.
Yes.
So, and we saw Nightcrawler was hurt.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think we thought he was dead. We just thought he was hurt, right?
No, because, we kind of seen him. He got up and was still helping people. So, yeah, we didn't. Yeah, there was a time where we thought he might have, how badly hurt, but he got up and says, and helped evacuate the people.
Yeah. And then Madeline Pryor is also dead.
Assumingly, yes.
Assuming that she's dead. Trying to think if there are we missing anybody. That's pretty much it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, Leech is dead.
Oh, Leech, yeah, Leech is dead too. Yeah, that's right.
Leech and Pixie.
Yeah. I don't know if they would have ever done anything like that on the original cartoon. My guess is no.
Because I think the closest they came to was what do they call it? The slaughter in the sewer, the mom. Oh, why can't I remember? Oh, Morlocks. Yeah. The Morlocks. They kind of did that in the original.
But yeah, that was pretty crazy. I thought that was a pretty crazy episode.
Yeah.
So, and then I guess we're done talking about that episode. And The next episode, episode 6, is the second part of the life-death storyline.
Yes.
With Storm and Forge. So that basically is the episode where she kind of full-on faces the adversary.
Right? Yes.
And then ultimately gets her powers back.
Right. She discovered why her powers are gone and how she can get them back. And while Forge is basically on life support after being attacked by the adversary.
Right, right. That's right. Yeah. Because she had to go into that cave to get that
right.
Mushroom or whatever.
Herb, yep.
Had the cure to the poison. And, so that was a pretty good episode too. Also, is that that's the one that we see Xavier still alive, right? Or we see him with the Shi'ar Empire, right?
At the yes. End. Yes.
So yeah, so that's basically that episode, right? So now we're on episode 7, Bright Eyes, right?
Yes.
So
they look for Trask.
Oh, that's right. Well, Oliver Trask, yeah, they're looking for him.
Mm-hmm. And we get a glimpse. It's like, Mr. Sinister is back.
Oh yeah, that's right, yeah. And we see Rogue is pretty upset about everything that's happened to. So
right.
She goes a little rogue.
She goes a little rogue, and she runs into Mr. Stars and strikes himself.
Yeah, Captain America.
Captain America.
Man.
And this is kind of the representation of 90s Captain America, because you know you always wonder when these like events with the X-Men as you know Sentinels and extermination and all that stuff, how come no other real superhero team ever comes and helps them? And it kind of gives you a glimpse of at least Captain America's mindset. As, hey, I know this bad thing happened to you, but we got to do it by the book. And she's like, oh, okay, so you're going to help us. Well, I can't help you wearing this costume because all these excuses. It's like, well, Cap, they just killed a whole bunch of people. Like, out of all the things, I mean, that you being Captain America should, you know, shouldn't be a problem. Like, it's the right thing to do. And I think Cap wants to do the right thing, is trying to do the right thing, but he's also, I think, is trying to, I guess, live up to the American standard or whatever, instead of just doing the right thing.
Well, I think, you know, like, because there was a period of time too, and like in the 90s, I'm trying to think if this happened, like, coincided directly with. Well, I'm assuming it probably did the way we're thinking of it. We're basically Captain America kind of, you know, Steve Rogers gave up his title and became a Nomad.
Yep. Wow. Blasted Captain. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then, so I mean, and they kind of did that, I guess, even in the MCU, sort of, you know, I think that's kind of like, I'm wondering if that's kind of what they're alluding to, and I wonder if they're going to ever explore anything like that. I guess maybe we'll find out in season 2. I don't, but
yeah, I'm not quite sure. But
it's that's like a whole other thing, though.
Yeah, because when I remember reading the comics and stuff, I was like, yeah, like I said, I always wondered, like you know, shouldn't like. The X-Men had more help from the Fantastic Four than like the Avengers. It's like, wait, shouldn't you guys be involved in like they're killing mutants? It's like,
because I think at one point they kind of changed the Avengers a little bit, because you know, I mean, for a while Beast was a member of the Avengers, you know, for
right
a while. So it seemed like there was a period probably in the mid 80s, the late 80s or whatever, where I think the Avengers and X-Men were way more friendly, you know, with one another. Because, you know, hence the membership of like Beast being an actual Avenger and all that stuff. So it seems like somewhere along the lines, writers decide to kind of take maybe the Avengers and X-Men and kind of, you know, maybe put them at odds a little bit more, you know.
I think that's like later on, like early 2000s. But if you like look back in the 80s and 90s, I like they hardly interacted unless it was like, you know, Infinity Gauntlet or the Infinity War, or basically, I think the rift happened basically with Onslaught. But like the Avengers really never got involved in, you know.
Yeah. And their deals. Yeah. And because they consider that more or less a mutant issue or something like that.
It's like, well,
Because I do remember even like, I think even back in like Secret Wars, I think they were kind of at odds with the X-Men a little bit.
Right.
Which was always kind of weird to me too, but. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Even when the time that they, you know, the X-Men sort of died and went to the Outback, you know, the Avengers.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are alive? I was like.
right.
Like Fantastic Four. It's like, yeah, they've been here the whole time, dude. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. So. That's true. I don't know.
So we have Bright Eyes. They discover the real mastermind that's not Sinister. Well, Sinister is part of it, but he's not the mastermind.
Right.
It's Bastion, and we find out Magneto is alive.
Right. There you go. Yeah. So then that pretty much wraps up episode 7, right?
That's correct.
So that brings us into episode 8, the first part of Tolerance is Extinction.
Mm-hmm.
Part 1. That sounds like something Magneto would say.
Yes.
So, I mean, this kind of, you know, this definitely appears to be like the beginning of the final arc that's going to happen in this season.
Mm-hmm.
So like what the mastermind behind it, Bastion, he kind of reveals what his plan is, right?
Right.
And what's his plan, Sam? It's basically a bunch of human volunteers that want to be Sentinels. Yeah.
And you also, I'm trying to think. Yeah, you also find out because Cable shows up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Cable shows up. Yeah. And you know, throughout, you know, this is a comic book pop culture podcast. So a lot of us, a lot of our listeners have possibly read some of the back issues of X-Men. And some of the stories that deal with the horrible futures of mutant kinds in the past, you know, times of past, present, future, and all that. And you come to find out that if what's going on, the future is that mutants are basically kind of put to work, and it's kind of a utopia on Earth, but it's not really good for mutants because most of them are either dead or basically doing manual labor while humanity and the Sentinels just hover over them.
Yeah.
And you find out Bastion's origin. And that he is not a mutant. He is a organic sentinel.
Which, yeah.
Which,
which is Sentinel sent to the past and went into his mother.
Yeah, it's almost like a reverse Terminator.
Yes.
Story. Yes.
Or the Terminator Dark Future story.
Something.
The movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he can talk to machines.
Yep. I guess that's kind of everything that happens in part one, right? In episode eight, right?
Yes.
And then episode nine is kind of where Magneto kind of, or actually at part one is at the end of part one is when Magneto basically turns.
He gets out.
Yeah, he gets out.
He is.
And then he turns all of the Sentinels off, right? Basically every
electronic. Off, yes.
Right? Yeah. So he like basically envelops the Earth in like a magnetic shield.
Right? Correct. Yeah. Now in part one, you know, we see Sunspot using his full powers and he's been practicing the danger of flying. So when those human Sentinels are activated, they're running for their lives, flying through the city, and they happen to crash into the building where his mom is hosting a fundraiser for the victims of Genosha.
Right.
Mind you, a few episodes before, he came out as telling his parents, "Hey, I'm a mutant," and they're like, "Oh, we know. You know, you can't blame burning down half the house on the butler."
right. Yeah.
So he crashes that fundraiser and is like, "Hey, mom, these things are trying to kill me," and she basically gives him and Jubilee over to the Sentinels.
Yeah, which that was kind of like, oh man, that's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of like, oh, like in the comics, that was your dad, his dad was more of the hide who you are kind of thing. I mean, oh yeah, you're a mutant, but let's just hide it because, you know, we got shareholders, but and got the mom. So,
yeah. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. And that's basically how part one ends, right? And then part two is basically the X-Men are trying to figure out how to basically get everything kind of back to normal.
Right. Charles Xavier has returned.
Oh, that's right, too. Yep.
Yeah. He returns and, you know, he does. He was walking when he was in space, but now maybe because of the crash, when he crashed on Earth, he's no longer walking anymore. So they have to divide the team into two teams. One team is to go stop Magneto and try to convince him to take down the magnetic field around the Earth, or else the Earth will basically die. And the other is to take down the Sentinels. So, Cyclops, Wolverine,
there's Rogue too, right?
Actually, Rogue and Sunspot at the end of episode one joined Magneto.
That's right. I couldn't remember if it was part two or part one where that happened. Part That's one. Right. That's,
yep.
Yeah. Yep.
They join Magneto, and Magneto brings back Asteroid M, and you know, the world's in peril. So yeah, it's Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Jubilee, and Cyclops, and Professor Xavier goes to Asteroid M as Storm, Forge, Jean Grey, and Cable go to fight the Sentinels. And it's an all out battle royal on all fronts.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's pretty crazy. Things are still kind of left up in the air with a lot of things, how things are unfolding. I mean, you know, Professor X is trying to convince Magneto to kind of you know, come to his senses, I guess, and not do what he intends on doing. And they kind of have a little bit of a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seemed like things were going to happen with Jean Grey and the Sentinels there, where it looked like she was in danger. And Professor X was just about ready to defeat Magneto, right?
Yep, because Wolverine was able to take off his helmet, and he was going to take over his mind, but Scott was like,
needs more time. They need more time. Yeah,
need more time, Professor, and shoots the professor's wheelchair, and you know Magneto is free, and then all of a sudden, our favorite Canuck takes a kill shot to Magneto and stabs him.
Yep, and then we start to see, basically at the end of that episode, a pretty famous scene from the comics where Wolverine gets his adamantium ripped out of him.
Right. So that's happening on Asteroid M, and down on Earth, as they're battling, we find out that their Mr. Sinister has a sleeper cell in Cable.
Right. Yeah.
So Cable is now under the mind control of Mr. Sinister, trying to fight Jean Grey. And then she goes quiet, and Scott can't hear her thoughts, so we don't know what's happening there. So,
yeah, and that's kind of how the episode ends, right?
That's it. Yeah.
Now we got to wait till the next episode, and
until May 18th.
Yeah, or May 15th, right?
May 15th.
Oh, let me go. Yes, I think
15th. Yeah.
So, I'm like, I guess we'll have to find out. We'll have to wait till then to see what happens. But I've always been torn about the whole thing about Wolverine getting his adamantium ripped out. And I know I've vocalized this before, but when that started happening at the end of that episode, I was like, kind of like, oh, I can't believe they're doing that even. That's pretty crazy.
Oh, no. See, I seen that coming. I was like,
Well, I kept wondering if they were going to do it, because it was like everything was kind of getting set up in place. I'm like, I wonder if they're going to do. And then as soon as I saw that Wolverine stabbed him, I'm like, they're totally doing it. That's what's going to happen.
But I was kind of like, okay, in the comics, Jean had went to Asteroid M.
Right. Yeah.
That's important. If we're going strictly by the comics, because that's an important.
Yeah, because she helped keep him alive and everything. Yes. Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's a good point. Yeah, so I don't know if I always kind of had, like, I understand that would probably be a shock to his body, you know, having all that adamantium ripped out of him or whatever. But I mean, still, he has a healing factor, you know, and I'm like, and it always kind of bothered me that having that ripped out of him seemed to hurt him as much as it did.
But I think because his healing factor was going into overtime, because I mean that's coming out of every pore your body, and the fact that I think at that point maybe Wolverine is like, yo, I've lived a long life, I don't want to fight no more, and I'm trying to remember. I think it was like Uncanny X-Men. I can't remember the number, but it kind of talks about that, how what he was thinking. And then that's when Jean was reaching out. It's like, no, you got to fight.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. Yeah. I wonder how they're going to. That's the only thing that's always kind of like, I love the Wolverine character. And that era, like right around that time frame, is probably my favorite of the way that he's represented. But it's always kind of drove me a little bit crazy, like how they've, you know, it seems like the story of how good his healing factor is varies greatly from, you know, one writer to the other.
Right, because at one point, sometimes he get bit by a zombie and turns into a zombie.
Right. And then other times it's like he's like, because there's that one annual where he's basically completely eradicated and is brought back from one drop of blood.
Right.
And his healing factor is supercharged or whatever. And I'm like, okay.
So, aliens, right?
Yeah.
I never understood. Like, shouldn't he... Like, there was another annual where they faced Dracula. And it's like, well, shouldn't he really be able to turn into a vampire, even with strong Dracula? Like, because there's other issues where he's fighting vampires, and they're like, well, we can't turn him into a vampire. It's like, how?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, there was times, too, where the Hulk ripped Wolverine in half.
Yes.
And I mean, that's got to be kind of more traumatic
than
having, you know, the adamantium ripped off. I'm thinking when your body's literally in half,
yes. You know?
So, the fact that his, you know, but I understand, like, they also kind of want to probably make it more exciting to, you know, the writer wants to add that element to it. So I'm just kind of wondering how
who's going to bring him back from the brink? I mean, because is it going to be Rogue?
Do you think they're even going to do that? You think maybe maybe he's just going to be kind of out for a little bit and then come back and he's healed?
No, I think I have a feeling that they wanted to do that purposely because one, for the fanfare, but two, I think they want to, because up to this point, Wolverine really didn't have anything going, right? I mean, there was no real story with him. I mean, his, you know, he had a great fight scene and something like that with, Rick, I'm angry at myself because part one had one of the greatest fight scenes in a very long time in an animated series. When the Sentinels first started attacking, Rogue was out, was in the bed, and the Sentinels were like, we're going to exterminate you. And Wolverine's like, I got six reasons why. And Nightcrawler comes in. He's like, nine. You got nine. Yeah,
that's right. I did. I forgot about that scene, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was happy. Right. I was like, Nightcrawler, that was a great scene, but I think they want to, going back to episode part two, I think they want to try to focus like on Wolverine, the traumatization of having that done to him, and who would bring him back. Would it be Rogue who would be the one to talk, or would it be Nightcrawler? Like, hey, like, I'm here, buddy. And how he's going to manage after that traumatic experience.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder too. I don't know. And like, I wonder in a way too. You think they'll shrink that whole thing down some way? Because like, you know, Storm losing her powers. I mean, there was a long period of time where she didn't have powers.
Yes.
And they shrunk that story down into what, like, three episodes. You know, so I wonder if they'll do something similar with Wolverine where.
I think his might be a little bit longer.
Yeah. I mean, I could see them doing longer with that. Because, I mean, even in the comics, he didn't have his adamantium for a long time.
Like three years.
Yeah. It's like crazy amount of time, I think. Yeah. And it's, And so I'm thinking probably maybe towards the end of the next season or something like that, they'll have we'll see Apocalypse
or even some Sabretooth.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. So I guess overall we like this season or this series so far. Yeah. I was to be honest with you, when they announced it, I was like, oh, that's cool that they're doing it. That's cool that they're gonna pick up from there. But I didn't really
Because I remember the first episode, people were like, oh, this is the greatest ever. And I was like, it's, I had the same feeling you were. I was like, it's good. I mean, I'm not like, it's good. I'm not going crazy over it. Like, but episode five, that was good. I was like,
yeah. That was the definite turning point where it completely won me over. Cause I was like, this is pretty good. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, episode five was like, oh man, now I can't wait to see what happens next episode.
Like, you know, what just happened?
I know. I was like, holy crap. Yeah. So yeah, it was, yeah. They won us over, Sam.
They won us over. So again, I'm hoping those who are listening, I hope you, enjoy X-Men 97 as much as we do. And I hope this actually allows you to try to look for some back issues to get yourself more familiar with the lore and get you excited about comic books.
Heck yeah. Heck
yeah. Yeah. Because it's funny how you're walking, if you like read some of these forums and some of these fan Facebook pages or whatever, where they're trying to guess, and it's like all us old heads are like, you know, there's a book, right? You can
right. You would know or have an idea what might happen.
I wonder what's going to happen next. Well, if you know, if you go to issue blah blah blah, it may give you an idea.
Yeah, you might get a hint. Definite hint as to what might be going on. So yeah, but the so what do you think about that? I guess the creator of the show, he got let go.
From my understanding, is because he had an OnlyFans.
Is that what it was? Which, oh. Get out of here.
As much as, you know, because OnlyFans can be used for almost anything.
Right.
So I don't quite know what did that have to do with. Maybe, you know, if younger viewers like, oh, that's the creator. Oh, let me see what else this person has on their platform. And
oh yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I can see how that'd be a little bit problematic, I suppose. Yeah,
but you know, he could have, I think they could have maybe worked something out, but well, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess from what I understand, as I read something earlier today where he had helped write or kind of plot the first two seasons. So at least his influence will probably still be in season two. Because it's unfortunate that all that stuff happened, but with him. But I mean, it's a good show. I know that guy probably had a major part in the creation of the show, but like also it's, you know, there's a lot of other people that are involved in creating the show.
Yeah.
And I don't want to dismiss all the work and effort they put into from one guy that did that.
Yeah.
Maybe had some, bad decisions.
like maybe you should have like put that on hold for just a little bit.
Yeah,
or at least change the format or right.
Exactly.
Whatever you're doing on that other site, maybe just put a mask on or something.
Right. It's just, or change your name or do change something.
Your name, whatever. Or like, oh, I got a brother.
Yeah.
A twin.
Yeah, because I didn't know why they let him go, but yeah, that makes sense to me now. If that's what he did.
Yeah,
that's too bad though.
You know, it highlights it's a small world after all.
They're right.
It's a small world, bud.
It is a small world after all.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad though, because I mean it is. Yeah, I have to say that the series won me over. No, for sure. I think we both would agree on that. Way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was you know, anything Marvel, X-Men related or whatever, I was interested in watching, but it's blew away my expectations.
Right. So. My only concern, and I think we talked about this, just that I want them to still treat this as a Saturday morning animated series, not, oh, this is going to be for you grown-ups. Fully, I want to, because there's been a couple, I'm going to say two episodes where it's like, hey, I got kids watching, so.
Yeah.
It's not like it's the live action. It's like, oh my god, this is supposed to be a Saturday morning cartoon. I don't think if I was a kid watching Saturday morning, that I would allow my kid to hear that word in this animated series.
Yeah, it is a little bit more.
Yeah,
a little more adult than the original series was, as I recall. That is true. That is true. I will say that for sure.
It's not invincible, but
it's not
invincible. Yeah, but it's just kind of like, hey, if the feeling, you know, if your target audience and the feeling that you want it is to be the Saturday morning animated series, then it needs to be like the Saturday morning animated series.
So right. And I think a lot of the other animated stuff, like the stuff that's been on Disney XD and stuff like that. There's some things in the Avengers and all that stuff. I think those are, you know.
Right. And that's where I was like, just go along with that.
Yeah.
So again, it's not invincible. So I'm not complaining too much, but it's kind of like, I kind of have to watch an episode before I let my kids.
Yeah. Just to make sure. That is true. Yeah. Cause there was a little bit of swearing, right?
Yes. Wolverine, Rogue. So it's like, okay, I can honestly sit down and watch the Bad Batch with my kids and not have to worry about.
Right. Censoring. Right.
Like, I shouldn't have to do that with X-Men.
No, it's not Deadpool.
Yeah, it's not
that but still, yeah, I was a little bit surprised. It seemed a little odd.
Yeah,
I think and kind of misplaced it at times. But
Rogue and Cyclops and Wolverine. I'm like, guys, come on.
Yeah. But other than that, though, I have, you know, it's good.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So, okay.
All right. I think that pretty much wraps up our discussion on the X-Men, I think, right, Sam?
Yep. X-Men 97. So, yeah, that's our take on it. So, hope you enjoyed it. We hope that you subscribe to our channel at allmyissues.com. You can listen to our podcasts on your favorite places where you find your favorite podcasts.
Yeah. All right. See you soon.
Yeah, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.